to the world of Babylon like a rebel fist. Journalist, specialist, predatory survivalist, spitting heaven fire from his lips. Burn the same driver.
Welcome, listeners, to time for an awakening on Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennia. This is a history and current events program from a cultural perspective. We find this program necessary because Hosea 4:6 states, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." But we as a people can turn this around. Proverbs 4:7 states, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom." And with all that getting, get an understanding. Again, welcome to the program this evening with your hosts, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. The number to reach us to join the conversation this evening is 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We're streaming live at several locations. You can go to timeforanawakening.com, which is the home page, and catch the live stream from that location. You can go to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening. Again, that's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening, and catch the live stream there also. You can go to ourradionetwork.com. Again, that's ourradionetwork.com. They broadcast out of the Black Belt and catch the live stream there. Or you can download TuneIn to any of your handheld devices. TuneIn is a free app. And in that TuneIn search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening. There you'll see the icon and you can stream the program live, even into your car if you have the Bluetooth capabilities, audio auxiliary connection. Again, that's Time for an Awakening radio program with the live stream on the TuneIn app. Drop us an email at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Again, that's timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Time for an Awakening also has a fan page on Facebook. In that Facebook search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening radio program. There you always see interesting content being posted by myself or Brother Richard. And before you leave that page, just do me a favor and hit that like button. That's Time for an Awakening radio program with the fan page on Facebook. And Time for an Awakening media is there. Always full of the latest podcast of the various programs on Time for an Awakening. Interesting articles that you can read, download at later times, and share with your friends. Also, check out that Time for an Awakening marketplace and our partnership with the BB Toomey. Always interesting things being posted in the marketplace. African language classes, classes on education, economics, social systems, health, and much, much more, being taught by professors on both the continent and the diaspora. So make that one of your favorites. Put that in your address bar. That's timeforanawakening.com. Timeforanawakening.com will take you straight to Time for an Awakening Media. Tonight, we have a special guest ready to join us on this Sunday evening here in Philadelphia. The 12th of January. Our special guest tonight is cultural storyteller, author, and journalist Jessica Ann Mitchell Awayor will be joining us this evening. She wrote an interesting article that's worthy of conversation, Understanding ADOS, the Movement to Hijack Black Identity and Weaken Black Unity. We'll be back to talk with our special guest after a brief word from our sponsors.
Mr. Moderator, our distinguished guests, brothers and sisters, our friends and our enemies. Everybody is here.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Not a Wu-Tanger. All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency and business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
Overworked? Suffering with an underperforming company, headache customer, staff, or vendors? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? We turned a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one transformation created for entrepreneurs like you in various industries around the country. Not what you're used to from accounting and business consulting? Well, welcome to New Business Solutions. If you're ready to go beyond advising, coaching, and training and get implemented results, call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions apply the best comprehensive administrative, accounting, operations, human resources, management, sales, and marketing to help you actualize your vision for yourself and your company. From anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072. Spelled new as in numerous on your device right now. Book your free consultation at newbusinesssolutions.com.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
From antiquity to the present, our people need to develop a new paradigm. It's time for an awakening. With your host, Brother Elliot, Sundays 7 p.m., Fridays at 8 p.m. for podcasting or live program scheduling. Hit us up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. And before we get started with our program this evening, I want to welcome in my co-host, Philadelphia activist and tour guide at the African American Museum here in Philadelphia at 7th and Arch Street. Brother Richard is with us. Brother Richard.
Yes, sir, Brother Elliot.
How are you, sir?
I'm all right. Hey, Elliot, it's just, you know, I do that Richard's weather report. Now, this is January, right? I ain't complaining, but I'm a little concerned. This is January, right?
Yeah.
Because it seemed a little nice outside. And again, I'm not complaining, but I'm doing fine. I'm looking forward to our discussion. You know, we've been developing this, you know, back and forth around just political formations and new political formations, and ADOS is another political formation. So I'm interested in, as I went through Sue Jessica's view, I'm just interested in kind of exploring and, you know, bringing out points to that, and understanding where we are as we rightfully push for reparations.
Yeah, this this subject is something that we have discussed on several occasions on this program and had guests on discussing it. Any of the listening audience of Time for Awakening know my feelings in reference to us seeking justice for what was done to our ancestors, and we're still reeling from the after effects of that. But it was an interesting article that I read by our guest tonight, Sister Jessica Ann Mitchell Awiyor, and it's entitled Understanding ADOS, the Movement to Hijack Black Identity and Weaken Black Unity. Let's welcome in our guest, Sister Jessica. How are you, sister?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, and I'm glad to have you on Time for an Awakening with myself and Brother Richard.
How you doing, Sister Nell?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Sister Jessica, tell us, before we get into the meat of the article and kind of thrash things out, talk a little bit about yourself. I see that you're a cultural storyteller, a author and journalist, publisher, you're entrepreneur, you wear a lot of hats. But I've been looking at some of your articles, and I see some of the pictures of the books that you have and look like several children's books. So talk a little bit about yourself before we talk about this article.
Sure. I am a communication specialist and a Pan-Africanist. I attended Fort Valley State University in Georgia, a small HBCU. Graduated there with a bachelor's in African World Studies, and then I attended Syracuse University, and I got a Master of Arts in Pan-African Studies and a Master of Science in Public Relations. So most of my background has been in communicating the Pan-African world, working in various nonprofits and social justice movements that advocate for people of African descent. I also have been blogging at my blog, Our Legacy, for the past 10 years about where I celebrate Black life and culture. And then that is where my publishing company kind of spinned off from that, Our Legacy Press. So I've recently published about 3 children's books, and I have some other books on the way. Okay. But I would say that I have such a deep respect for journalists. I wouldn't call myself a journalist because they have the task of being objective, and I'm not objective. and so I am a cultural storyteller. I tell stories that promote the diaspora in the Pan-African world, but I wouldn't call myself a journalist.
Okay, but you don't mind if I call you a journalist, do you?
Okay.
This is Jessica. Yeah, I read the article. It's a pretty lengthy article. I found it very interesting. But talk about why you wrote this article and wrote it at the time that you did.
I found out about ADOS, sad to say, probably about 6 or 7 months ago. Some people say ADOS. I'm just going to say ADOS. And as a Pan-Africanist, I am all about reparations, fully support reparations. But when I dug into really finding out more about the American descendants of slavery, a lot of things concerned me. A lot of their talking points concerned me. A lot of what I was witnessing concerned me. And my family is from Georgia and South Carolina. Let me just say that now. I know that some people look at my last name and they think that I am an African immigrant, which there's nothing wrong with that at all.
No.
If I am, but I'm not. I grew up with my, knowing my great grandparents, Flossie and George. They escaped off of a plantation through sharecropping to Augusta, Georgia, where they got their freedom. At that time, my grandmother was a young child, but she still remembers them having to escape off the plantation and pass that story of our family history down to me. So my father's side came from South Carolina, Charleston, Florence, Columbia, that area. Any topic concerning reparations, I'm going to into it any topic concerning identity, lineage, and African Americans. I'm going to dig into it. And as a communication specialist, I'm always intrigued with the different movements that are occurring online and the type of words that are used and the calls that come from different types of movements. I study these things as a part of my trade. It's something that I do for a living, and it's something that I do in a pastime. So I've been researching ADOS for a good 6 to 7 months. And in the last few months of last year, starting in October, that's when I started writing this article, mostly because I was just trying to figure out what is the end game here of ADOS. I know that it claims to be a reparations movement, but from what I'm seeing, it doesn't exactly add up as a reparations movement. And then once it finally came to me what the end game was, I started writing. And I really wanted to get it out at the end of last year, but I wanted to make sure that the report contained as much information as possible, because I wanted it to be used as an educational tool for Pan-Africanists to share with people that need to be informed. And so it ended up coming out the 2nd or 3rd of January.
Sister Jessica, if we look back at our experience here in this country, we see that, and I'm talking about how Europeans dealt with our ancestors, we see that any type of movement that came along, whether it be Marcus Garvey, whether it be Malcolm, whether it be Martin, and we can go down the list of some of our other ancestors who have tried to start movements to get our people to come together, they were always attacked by this government, by COINTELPRO, by FBI, white supremacy in general. And they always focused in on the leadership of those organizations, because I guess our Europeans thought if they cut the head off the leadership, then the body will die. In some cases, that might have been true. But, and I'm saying that to say this, in your writings, you don't focus in on the people that follow, or I'll use the term rank and file people that are involved in ADOS. What you talked about initially in some of the practices and policies, you focused in on the leadership because they set the tone for any organization. Talk about some of the things that troubled you in regards to the leadership.
Okay. So I'm glad you raised that point about the targeting of leadership. So in those instances where you just named, those kind of counter attacks on Black movement towards leadership is one thing. Mm-hmm. But in the article, as you noted, I focus in on the leadership because this is a different type of thing that's happening, where it's not a counter attack on the leadership. The leadership is the attack itself. So let's get started with that. So Yvette Carnell used to write with Voice Watkins on Your Black World. And then later, I guess they had some type of a split, and she just wrote for herself on Breaking Ground. I know that Antonio Moore used to write for Newsmax, which is a right-wing type of news site, if you can call it news, mostly like right-wing propaganda. At one point, they started honing in on this, on the topic of reparations, after speaking a lot about Black economics and the need for us to move up economically in order to gain power in America, in order to lift our communities up out of poverty. And there is nothing wrong with that. But somewhere along the way, the rhetoric took this turn towards blaming Black immigrants for the issues of impoverishment and economic injustice that African Americans face today. A lot of that type of terminology is straight from the playbook of white supremacists. So I talk about this in my article because Yvette Carnell also used to be on the board of this organization called Progressives for Immigration Reform. Now, on the surface, it sounds harmless, but Progressives for Immigration Reform was a part of a larger goal or end game. This is an organization under what some people would call the Tanton Network. There was an individual named John Tanton who was a racist, and he supported eugenics. And he came up with this idea where he didn't want to say exactly what he wanted to say outright. He didn't want to be the in-your-face racist or the in-your-face anti-black person or anti-immigrant person. What he wanted to do was get his agenda across, his racist agenda across, with by appearing to be harmless, by appearing to be progressive. And so what he did was started funding and founding different organizations that appeared to be progressive, but that spouted this pro-European American rhetoric. Progressives for Immigration Reform is one of those organizations. It touts itself as progressive, but when you look at its policies, it's anything but progressive. One of the things that it's one of its main goals is decreasing the black and brown presence in America. They are staunchly against America's open immigration. Anything that's progressive towards immigration, they are against. They believe that immigrants are the cause of turmoil across America. Why does this matter when it comes to the black population? Black immigrants are having a lot of babies. They have a high birth rate, specifically when you're speaking about African immigrants. They don't want more black babies in America. They do not want a high black population. The African American population is right around 12 to 13%. We can say 14% if we talk about specific, if we include mixed race children and immigrants, right? But the reason why that is a threat is because America is getting closer and closer to be a majority black and brown country. By 2045, it is going to be a majority black and brown country. And white supremacists and the people that are white supremacists and racists in authority are doing everything in their power to make that stop. So you can look through at the Trump administration and see what it's doing with its immigration policies. This is not just because they want to be mean or they want to make things hard on people. They are trying to stop the browning of America. And one of the ways to do that is to they don't expect African Americans to suddenly just go out and vote Republican. They know we won't do that. But what they do is they create an atmosphere that chips away at any type of Pan-African unity, at any type of awareness of Pan-African consciousness. And through that means, like the immigration, the anti-immigration policies that ADOS is spouting, they are trying to get more African-American buy-in. Reparations, yes. ADOS, no. Because ADOS has been, if you look at what they've actually done and the work that they claim to have done and the policies that they promote, they have actually spent more time attacking African and Caribbean immigrants than anything else. And that is not, that is all by design. That is not a coincidence.
Richard, jump in. I know you want to kind of get some things.
You know, Sister Jessica, now, well, I'm going to ask the first question, and I was trying to think of how to go through. Let me say this. I believe you did a very thorough job based off of what I think I know in capturing the various points that Yvette and Tone have put out as a part of the framework for ADOS. I think that you, you know, went through based off of me reading. So you went through it. One of the, and I think you answered the first part because the core of why, right? And let me ask it again, because you say it is likely to be used to create policies that will further marginalize and oppress Black communities. That is that the core crux of what you see that the intent is?
The core intent that I see is to disenfranchise the Black community to the point where we, one, we are so divisive towards each other that we can't come together as a collective to advocate for policies that help the overall collective Pan-African community. And then number two is to decrease the overall Black population in America.
And so, you know, because and listening to, you know, I kind of listen more to, or I, when I can listen to more to Yvette than I do Tone. It's just, maybe it is Tone, but I seem to, you know, can, when I can digest. And I, one, I'm asking, I believe the accusation came up. So two, I'm asking whether you, and as you were developing this, hear that that as what you see that they brought it was brought to them in a public in their public forum, and I want to get to something else on that, but I just wanted to get clarity on that. And did they respond? Did he or she or both respond that that's not true? I guess that's what
can you say the first part again?
Did they actually did the core of what you see is the intent? Did they actually did they hear it as you see? Did they respond as you heard?
Did the core did
yeah, as
did,
far as being to marginalize and oppress the Black community, I'm wanting to use the language that you use.
Did
that, that
was
the,
hear that or did the audience?
Did you hear them respond to that? In
actually
any way?
No. I have not. But then again, I have not listened to recent their recent broadcast. I know that it seems like the only thing that Antonio Moore responded to directly to me, even though he blocked me, he did name me directly on Twitter and basically wanted to correct me and say these are some other places that I've written for other than Newsmax. But I haven't listened to any more recent broadcasts. I am with you on that. For some reason, I can listen to more of Yvette than Tone. I don't know why. I can listen to her. I just cannot listen to Tone. but I have not heard that. But I don't need. We don't need them to outright say it because it's in their overall daily rhetoric.
Right. And I understand. Go ahead. Excuse me. Mm-hmm.
No, I just want to give you an example of some more examples of why ADOS is really an attack on Pan-African consciousness more than it is a reparations movement, because they spend the majority of their time attacking the Pan-Africanist effort. Even down to African-Americans and our tracing our lineage and roots to Africa, which we know we came from the continent of Africa. But like in one video, Antonio Moore was telling people that African Americans actually have more DNA that is our DNA is closer to white Americans than it is to any African. This is something that came out of his mouth, that our DNA itself. And then when they had the conference last year, there was a reporter that attended, and she wrote about it in the New York Times. And one of the things she said that came out of the conference was they were telling people, stop trying to trace your roots to Africa. Your root, you need to be tracing it within America. Don't try to, stop looking to Africa for your heritage. Look within America. And we already know what happens with a tree without roots.
Right. And it's, you know, and it's, Well, let me be clear. From my orientation, is like I call myself a a Marcus Garvey conservative, right? That's how I see. But I see that. But I think it's important for us to, when we're looking at political formations within coming out of the Black experience, that we try to center them in some kind of history of. But you raise another interesting point in that centering in us in this time. And because you're a communication specialist, and that is using the new media format, the digital format, to communicate. How much you see that this, because you're the other part that you said is a highly sophisticated propaganda campaign. How much of that is because of this new, the not taking away what the what is being projected, but the medium that has to be used. Creating an adversarial position is in this kind of format in order to create views or audience. How much is that a play in as you see from that vantage?
Thank you for asking that. It's a huge play. It's a huge play. We are in the information age, right? This is the age of new media. We're not picking up newspapers like we were anymore. We don't go, by the time something is reported on television, we knew about it hours ago on Twitter, right? That we're in the information age and it's all happening online. I was telling one of my mentors, we live online, right? So if you're going to sow a seed and make sure that it becomes a fruit that becomes ripened, you're going to do it online. So what is happening, and this is something that was reported, you know, that happened in 2016, and it for sure is happening in 2020 and beyond, but we know for sure in 2016 that there was disinformation campaigns and misinformation campaigns targeting Black communities, mimicking Black activism. There were fake Facebook accounts and fake Facebook fan pages of Black Lives Matter that was actually organizing a protest that people were actually showing up to, but they weren't those activists. They weren't real. So one of the things, let me back up a little bit, because I mentioned disinformation and misinformation. Disinformation is when something is put out, right, as if it is actual information, but it is completely false. It is something meant to disinform, something meant to make you mentally regress on purpose. That is a disinformation campaign, and a lot of it is happening online right now. And then another thing that's happening is misinformation, where you may not have intended, but there's a mixture of facts and fiction, and it keeps spreading like wildfire because it's on the internet, because it's being driven on Facebook. So in those instances with misinformation, you might not even know. Like, it can be just you found something, you thought it was true, you shared it. That's misinformation. Something is mixed with facts or fiction is misinformation. But what is happening is certain forces or entities, some media are saying Russia, China. We know from American history that it is, if it is happening, that is not Russia and China alone. We know
yes.
that.
Yes.
They are bolstering this. So if you look at the ADOS movement, one of the things they hated, they were really upset with Joy Reid about, was that she said it was just all bots. Right? She said it was bots, bots, bots. And so they came up with this "We are not bots" campaign, right? Because it wasn't true. They're not all bots. What they are is a mixture of bots, trolls, and unsuspecting people that are actually a part of that movement because they do believe that it is an authentic reparations movement. So what has happened is because this movement has tied itself to reparations, but really has a kind of an underhanded anti-immigration scope and feel and perspective and intentionality to it, whatever forces behind trying to push this movement are creating, we don't even know how many fake accounts to help promote this movement. When the report came out, I can't tell you how many accounts that were created in December 2019 with zero followers that suddenly started tweeting me, "You're wrong. You don't want us to get reparations. You're an agent. You're anti this. You're anti that. You're anti black." Certainly mimicking the members of that movement and aiming these attacks at my Twitter account. These are not real accounts, but they are accounts that help to bolster the voices that actually do exist. There was one account that I looked at that took its precious time to tweet whatever hatred venom towards my Twitter account. This account only tweeted once a year for the last 4 years. I kid you not, it tweeted once in 2016, once in 2017, once in 2018, once in 2019, and then I had the pleasure of being its one tweet in 2020. These are not real accounts. These are accounts that are activated for certain underhanded purposes to give the illusion that this movement has more prowess and more power than it actually has. So if you speak out against the movement, what those accounts do is swarm you. This is a term that I did not come up with myself or just decide to take up myself. This is a term that they use within their own circles that I have evidence of them using, where if you say something anti-ADOS, 1,000 accounts suddenly swarm or attack your account to give the impression that you're wrong and everybody else in the world is right, and it's you that has the problem. It's you that's anti-reparations. It's you that's anti-black. It's not us. There's no problem over here. Stop questioning. And when you question, the question becomes, who you? Who you? That's part of the rhetoric. That's part of the anti-immigrant rhetoric. How dare you speak of the of us that have been enslaved in America for 400 years? Who are you? And there have been numerous anonymous accounts then that would tweet my account attacking me for my last name. That doesn't sound American. Who are you? What are you doing talking about this? You have no right to talk about this. But at the same time, one of the staunch advocates of the ADOS movement is a completely anonymous white male that we have no clue. It's like he came out of thin air, has an entire blog dedicated to promoting ADOS, dedicating to bashing anyone that dares speak out about ADOS.
You know,
there's something happening here.
And Elliot, you know, I will wrap up this portion of your mind, because you raise in your article another interesting part. I'm calling for me the intro, because as we look at, or I looked at the question of, well, why the Pan-Africanist, why Pan-Africanism became the target. And I'm placing it in the context of this propaganda and wanting one, the question of, do you think it was a propaganda, an intentional propaganda strategy? And then two, and you kind of touched on it in relationship to the demographic numbers, but in this time, we just dealt with the 400 years, the right of return, you know, and things like that. The whole thing of the Pan-African spirit, the continent really coming together, and then those of us in the diaspora around reparations coming together. So again, I come back to this question. As you went through this, did you see that as a, whether, you know, intentional target community that this propaganda was directed to, or just for other reasons other than the demographics, or as I laid out, that Pan-Africanism is actually maybe on the rise at this moment? Did you see anything else besides that? Pan-Africanism?
Well, I think it was definitely intentional for some. For the people that follow ADOS that are not the leaders, those are people, many of them are genuinely people that are concerned about reparations and that feel that they are a part of a budding reparations movement. They actually feel that ADOS is one of the most important movements to exist since the Civil Rights Movement. They actually believe that. I don't think that for them, they are intentionally participating within propaganda. But that is one of the calling cards of propaganda, to get you to not know. It's never going to have a stamp on it to say this is propaganda or this is cult-like activity. It gets you to buy in by catering to your emotions, by catering to low-hanging fruit, by catering to some ideology that might have already been lingering there. And in this case, that would include, you know, friction between the different children of the diaspora. Some people refer to it as the diaspora wars. In terms of attacking Pan-Africanists directly, and I would say, let me go back. Now, for the leadership, I don't know if they are willing propagandists or if they are also themselves being swept up into this. I'm leaning towards willing propagandists, but I don't know that for sure. I can say that they are definitely being utilized towards attacking Pan-Africanism, and it is definitely purposeful to attack the Pan-African community. Because if you look at all of the social justice movement, especially the more recent ones, they all include members of the Pan-African world and the collective, including reparations. If you really want to have a successful reparations movement, wouldn't you want it to be Pan-African? Wouldn't you tie it to the other Pan-African the other reparations movements that are happening across the Pan-African world? Wouldn't you want to know and share strategies with people that are fighting for the same thing and the same rights? Wouldn't you want to, like Nkobra is doing, like NARC is doing? Wouldn't you want to do that? Attacking Pan-Africanists is one of the main things that they do, because their end game is not reparations. Their end game is to destroy the Pan-African consciousness, to weaken Black unity in America, to make it harder for us to come together as a collective. I remember not too long ago, there were some people that left the Eidos movement. They were part of an interview on YouTube, and they were talking about this brother really wanted to advocate for reparations, and he said he reached out to this organization and that organization, and every time he reached out at that exact point, Yvette Carnell was on YouTube blasting this person and blasting that person and blasting the Pan-Africanists and blasting the Black Muslims. And he could never get anything done because nobody wanted to work with them, because the end game is not reparation with them.
Sister Jessica,
and when we go to Year of Return, that indicates the Year of the Return, they spent a lot of time attacking the Year of the Return, the two Eidos leaders, Antonio Moore and Yvette Carnell. Why? Why would you attack something like that if you are advocating for reparations? Why the Year of the Return? Even if you think it is for tourism purposes, even if you think it is a money grab from Ghana, why spend so much time attacking the Year of the Return? Because the Year of the Return signifies the Pan-African consciousness that continues to exist in America among the descendants of enslaved Africans in America. The Pan-African consciousness is there, and they don't want it to exist there. So anything like the Year of the Return that would entail us going back to Africa and linking our heritage to Africa and, God forbid, linking up with Africans, they don't want that.
Sister Jessica, we spend a lot of time on this program talking about history and associating history with our experience now, and looking at history from our perspective and looking at our history here dealing with Europeans and based on their history. Looking at our experience, and you being a African history major, have you ever seen any movement in our sojourn or experience here with Europeans that devoted their time to attack a people, attack their work or Pan-African work or people of African descent? through the 17, through the 1800s, to the 1900s, have you ever seen any association with what is happening now?
Now, I'm not movement that
wants. Well, let me put a little framework around.
Okay.
I'm not really talking about maybe an individual, because you've seen during the 1900s and early in the 1800s, where some of our people wanted to be here, they might not necessarily want to go back to Africa, but they didn't disassociate themselves from their ancestors or their continent. They might have preferred to stay here because they had built a life here. But that's a little different from trashing the works of our ancestors or trashing the memory of them and their association with our homeland. Have you, and now go back to that question, have you ever seen any association historically with this?
No, I have not. I cannot recall any movement that strives to be successful doing anything like that. There have been people at various points, like you pointed out, like individuals that may have their own biases or thoughts about the different movements and the different people within them. But there has not been a movement so devoted to our ancestors or our African heritage as there is one, as this one that exists today. It's very interesting that they would even tell people to call themselves American descendants of slavery. First of all, you cannot descend from slavery. Slavery is a condition. It is not a lineage. It is not a heritage. That is just a pure erasure of your identity, and it dehumanizes you from the onset because it aligns you with the harm that your oppressors placed on your ancestors instead of aligning you with your whole human self and identity. There are no descendants of slavery. That is a condition. If you had a grandmother that was in prison at some point and she had your mother when she was in prison, would you walk around saying, I'm a descendant of prison? No, you would never do that, because imprisonment is a condition, and prison is the place in which that condition is mandated or carried out. You would never say, I'm a descendant of prison. You would never call yourself that. The reason why they do that is to disconnect people again mentally from anything to do with Africa, any type of Africanity or Pan-Africanism. They cloak themselves with this American descendants of slavery, and they say, well, it's to distinguish ourselves. We need to be distinguished. Everyone else should be distinguished. African Americans are distinguished. We're known all around the world. Everyone knows us. If you're confused, you can go to Washington, D.C. and go in that big, huge museum full of our history. When our ancestors created the African Methodist Episcopal Church, Richard Allen and Absalom Jones, they said African Methodist Episcopal Church because they saw themselves as Africans in America. When they created the Free African Society, after they Richard Allen paid for himself to be freed from slavery, they said African for a reason, because they know that slavery was not the end-all and be-all to their existence. And to say the African Methodist Episcopal Church is the longest-running black institution in the United States of America.
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting, because it ties to, you know, and that was one of the points that I seen you brought out, that slavery is not a lineage. And the whole thing of black immigrations. And, you know, it was it's a line in the paper that I seen, that a question that you raised that I heard was raised someplace else. And I just wanted, you know, to see how you respond to this, you know, because you raised it. And it says, would they pass ADOS? It was talking about who would be the black identity, who is considered of what's that? Descendants of slaves, right? So mm-hmm. those who are, and I take it those who were slave Africans in North America who escaped, and this is how you put it, which was, I think was beautiful as a question, and escaped to Canada, Nova Scotia, Mexico, and Liberia, would they be entitled and came back, would they be entitled to citizenship, affirmative action, and reparations? From what I'm getting, they're saying they wouldn't because they're not directly related or continuously related of the enslavement experience. Is that what you're getting and what they're projecting? Yes, is that what you're getting?
What I'm getting is just confusion. I don't think that I've seen a full answer or response to that question that made sense. I think it's just confusion, all the way to the point where there's confusion all around, it seems, with the ADOS movement, with identity. That is. So let me bring up another point. I personally, if it was up to me, I mean, we can debate the Black identity, but if we're going to say American descendants of slavery, it would include all those people. It would include all those people, but the ADOS movement is not set up in a way in which to think critically about Black identity and our overall experience. I mean, if you look at some descendants in South Carolina, we have ancestors that were first brought to Jamaica and then brought to South Carolina. Would it be excluded because we stopped in Jamaica first and then went to South Carolina? How does it work? Where does the line stop? And then someone mentioned Rachel Dolezal, the woman that was pretending to be African-American all those years. And Dr. Darity, which is the economist that is the chief supporter of the ADOS movement, said in a tweet that maybe she could qualify for reparations if she could prove she had at least one ancestor that was an enslaved African in America. And because she has marked herself as Black all these years, she might actually be a recipient of reparations. Now, it's interesting, the ADOS movement, it would be more likely to include Rachel Dolezal in a conversation about affirmative action and reparations than a supposed African immigrant or Afro-Latino or a person from the Caribbean. So, again, the question of lineage is up in the air in terms of ADOS. I don't think that they've really landed on something solid other than a surface-level interpretation of what it means to be an American or a Black American.
There's one thing I would say that, and I'm being clueless, all I can know, but really unnerved me is the lack of historical context for this identity. I mean, I'm a believer that our experience have created a lot of different identity social formations. So that can be legitimized. But when you don't project your historical lineage, you know, not your individual lineage to enslavement, just your ideological. And that's what I think I was hearing you say, Elliot, in raising the question you raised. If you can't place it in some historical framework to validate your political position, then I have a challenge because of the point that you raised. But another thing that was interesting, and I do agree that you had in the paper, I didn't see as much discussion about European immigration as it is about African Caribbean immigrants. And why was that? Why is that so? When we know from a political perspective, and it's all supposed to be about political and utilizing political power, that America has always fostered, supported, and called for European immigrants and given all kind of leeway for European immigrants to come into this country, even when they talk bad about them, they gave them. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you on that.
Well, Richard, listen, hold your point. I want to get back to that. We're going to take a brief break. We got some callers on the line, too, because we're going to get to them after the break. And we're in conversation this evening with cultural storyteller, author, and journalist, in my opinion, Jessica Ann Mitchell Awior. The article we're discussing is Understanding ADOS, the Movement to Hijack Black Identity and Weaken Black Unity. Again, you can get involved in the conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We got some callers on the line, and I'll get to you right after the break. We'll be right back.
Listening to Time for an Awakening, Time for an Awakening, with host Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency and business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
I transformed a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one of the tangible transformations I've created for entrepreneurs in various industries around the country. If this isn't what you think of when you think of accounting and business consulting, then get ready to take down this invaluable information. Are you an entrepreneur suffering with a stagnating company? Have headache customers, staff, or vendors? Are you rebounding from a loss and need help achieving your unrealized potential? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? Hi, my name is Nataki Kanban. If you're ready to go beyond advising and coaching and get results, then call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions recommend and implement the best comprehensive sales, administrative, human resources, accounting, and operations to help you grow into your vision for yourself and your company. Again, from anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072 or pull us up on your device right now and book your free consultation at www.newbusinesssolutions.com. And just mention you heard the special announcement on Time for an Awakening.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
For 12 years, I and others like me have held out radiant promises of progress. I had preached to them about my dream. I had lectured to them about the not too distant day when they would have freedom all here now. I had urged them to have faith in America and in white society. Their hopes had soared. They were now booing me because they felt that we were unable to deliver on our promises. They were booing because we had urged them to have faith in people who had too often proved to be unfaithful. They were now hostile because they were watching the dream that they had so readily accepted turn into a frustrating nightmare. And so the collision course is set.
The desegregation decisions and other type of legislation and Supreme Court decisions depends upon changing the white man's mind. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that our own mind has to be changed. We have to change our mind about ourselves.
In what way?
Well, so he teaches us the importance of moral reformation, a knowledge of self. And for instance, the average so-called Negro, he doesn't think that he can go into business and provide jobs for himself. And because of this, he thinks that he can only get a job from the white man, or he can only get clothes from the white man, or he can only get food from the white man. And we who follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad are taught that the same thing that the white man has done for himself and his kind, if our people could be if we could be cured of our slave mentality that was indoctrinated into us during slavery, we would realize that just as the white man can do these things for himself and his kind, we can get together in unity and harmony and do the same thing for ourselves and our kind.
I'm not wondering at all about them. I'm concerned with the suffering and the pain of the masses of black people. No one wants to pay reparations. The Jews received over $100 billion in reparations and gets $4 billion annually. A Holocaust museum was set up for them on this soil for over $200 million, and they get $21 million annually just for operating expenses. But the Catholic Church, the Pope, the Jews, the Arabs, white people in general, no one wants to pay reparations to these, the sons and daughters of Africa. So I speak to them. I don't speak to the family of those two Jews. There are too many of us for me to speak to them.
And one of the reasons why I'm always happy to come to this organization, because you're the only one, you're the only black organization, again, that understands to put race first. Race first. Race first. And I've had some white folks to tell me that I was a flaming militant, a radical, or whatever all of these names were that they called me. And I said that I am very pleased that you called me a nationalist, because you could have said that I was a member of the NAACP or the Urban League. So I said, I'm very pleased of the names that you have given. But I said that because we put race first, something is wrong with us. But everybody else puts their own first, because God bless the child who has his own. And so I think that race first is very important. And though we meet in a different venue, we're not at the slave theater, we're not at the church, we're now at the Masonic Temple, it really does not matter where we are physically. It matters where we are in our minds. And wherever we meet, as long as we know that we're Africans and as long as we know that we're black people living yes. here in America, we know exactly who we are. You notice you can put an Uncle Tom in any venue in the White House. You can even put him in his. He's going to still be a Tom. You can put him anywhere you want. Well, it's the same thing with us who are strong people. Wherever we are, we're going to be the people that we need to be.
Encourage, let me just say this before our time winds up, and that is, I want the people in the audience to go back and look at the video clip from Roots. It's entitled something like Breaking Kunta Kinte. That scene opens with Lorne Greene sitting in, who's the plantation master, sitting in his office, and then Fiddler comes in and says, we don't want to be too hard on the runaway. Kunta Kinte has just run away and been caught. And so the time comes for him to get his lashing. And if you look at this scene, it's about 9 minutes, and the scenes. Study the role of everybody or bodies that are in this particular clip. And you will find that there is an equivalent role in the political life of our country today, whether it's on the national level or on the local level. There's the black man who actually does the whipping of Kunta Kinte. There's the white man who does the whipping. There's the black man who intervenes with the boss man and tries to save the life of Kunta Kinte. There's Kunta himself, who eventually is forced to admit that his name is Toby. And there's dozens of bystanders, black, who are watching. This is a very powerful scene. And it's an analogy of exactly what is happening in our community today. Let's give those characters names in our community and call them what they are and then take care of business about that.
Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. It's 8:11 here in the city of Philadelphia, and we're back. We're in conversation with our special guest, cultural storyteller, author, and publisher, Jessica Ann Mitchell Awiyor, is with us this evening. Her published article, Understanding ADOS, The Movement to Hijack Black Identity and Weaken Black Unity, and she's with us this evening. Sister Jessica.
Yes.
Before we left for break, Richard raised a, and after this comment, I want to get to the guests, get to some of these callers, because I see it's several of them here. Richard raised a point about the attack on the term black immigrants in this country. And you wrote something here in your article, and I'll read it. The co-founders of ADOS harbor anti-immigrant sentiments directed towards Afro-Caribbean and African immigrants. They believe that black immigrants are taking resources from black American population and that the native black community should be distinctly recognized to differentiate ourselves and black immigrants in policy decisions. And Richard raised a point about, why isn't there an attack on European immigrants? I'm here in Philadelphia, and this city is rapidly being gentrified, just like other cities. And in the area where I have a place of business, Russians are buying up everything that is not nailed down in the community. And last time I looked, Russians were supposed to be an enemy of the United States, but they're white and they're here. These are people that's taking resources supposedly from the black community. Blacks attacking other blacks seem like it's straight out of somebody else's playbook about because we don't create jobs here and we don't provide jobs. So how am I saying that somebody else is taking a job that I would get? Is somebody else providing these jobs? The focus should be on the Europeans or Caucasians that's doing this and not attacking one another. Comment on that before I go to some of these callers, Sister Jessica.
I'm glad you raised that because I was having a conversation about this with a close friend of mine. And one of the things she said was perhaps we've internalized capitalism so much that to us, success is leaving somebody else behind. And I agree with that 100%. And I think that much of Ado's sentiment is based on this scarcity tactic, this belief that there's a lack, right? And that there's only enough allotted for just a little bit of us black folks. So don't you you come over here trying to get a piece of the scraps that are thrown from the table. Don't come and take it. It's a scarcity tactic. We see that trillions of dollars now have been put towards Trump's war. The whole time people were screaming for money for public education, but the money came out of nowhere for a war. That the scarcity tactic is used on us in order to get us to turn against each other. And then it's good that you raised that there are other communities, immigrant communities that rise up that don't get the same vitriol. You brought up Russia. Look at what, there's a couple of documentaries out now about the Chinese elite and how if you look at certain communities have been purchased, like bought, not even for the purpose of living in these homes, just for the purpose of the homes to gain value over time. And this is adding to the homelessness issues that we're having in the United States of America. This is adding to affordable housing crisis that we're having in America, to the point where some towns have decided to start adding more taxes on these homes. If you're not going to come and live in them directly, well, we're going to tax the home because you're just sitting on a property and making the whole neighborhood unaffordable. These are things that are happening. If you want to talk about issues with immigrant communities, these are things that are happening that we could be discussing that are actually affecting the affordable housing crisis, that are making it worse for people of African descent to find homes, to live in neighborhoods, to add to the value of their home. These are core issues, but those are not being raised because their real goal is not reparations, and it never was. It never was. It may be for some of the followers, but it doesn't appear that the real end goal is reparations for the leaders.
Let's go to some of the callers here. Let's go to 602. 602?
Yes. Good night, Brother Elliot, Brother Richard, and good evening to your guest, Sister Jessica. You know, your sister is so correct, you know. When I first saw this group, I said, these people here, they're a distraction. You know, they're a distraction, you know. But what I have noticed also is that they have fell off significantly also, you see. Antonio Moore and Yvette Carnell couldn't even draw flies if they were crap, because the movement don't move way ahead of them. Okay, this thing here done opened up wide. Okay, so it's Africa for the Africans. Ain't nobody want to hear what the hell Yvette Carnell with her lesbian self and old madman Antonio Moore got to say. You know, they can take the detractors with them. You know what I'm saying? They have that arena that they want to get into and debate, fine. But I don't even engage them again. You see, because it's a waste of time and energy. That energy and time we can put towards the African redemption. Because it's coming, okay? That unity is coming. Ain't no Carnell, ain't no Trump, ain't nobody can stop that now. It's pregnant and it's here. Okay, so, you know, they are irrelevant. As far as I am concerned. Anyway, good sister, keep on exposing them. Thank you so much. Good night, good brothers.
Thank you for your call, sir. You know, before we go to the next call, I personally, Sister Jessica is on here to talk about an article and to bring out the facts. I don't want to personally attack these people or their lifestyles or whatever. Whatever they're doing, that's on them, and they'll have to answer to the Almighty when that time comes. But I just want to focus in on those issues because I don't think these things are coming from our community. That's my personal opinion. We've been talking about this at length before Sister Jessica came on here, and I'm glad she's on here to bring out some facts that she has seen and wrote about. So let's take another call here. Let's go to 215. 215?
Yes, sir. This is Brother Reed. If you call it 850, Yes, sir. 1699.
Yes, sir.
Is that the right number?
How are you, sir? How are you, sir?
I'm super fantastic, man. I'm calling up. First of all, I want to say something to your guest, Sister Awiyo, J-A-M. And I want to say to you, sister, that I acknowledge you, I appreciate you, and I respect you for being able to do the analysis of Ados based on the facts and circumstances of our history.
Okay.
And see, that's the counter to that foolishness they put, the propaganda they put up. You cannot just go at them with an opinion about who we are, what happened to us, whether or not we get a check, whether or not we go. You go to the facts and circumstances. And the facts and circumstances there says that our peoplehood was destroyed by torture, by the lash. And that sister, one of your commercials, talked about Kunta Kinte. That's a prime example of where our peoplehood was taken away from us. And I'm saying taken away from us because the peoplehood they took away from Kunta Kinte, they took it from all the folks who were observing the situation. You see? And so now, in terms of Ados, you know, Ados represents the presumption that we are no longer Africans because it identifies us as, Americans and descendants of the institution of slavery. No such thing. There's no such, that's a non-existent people. You cannot have a lineage, human lineage, ancestral lineage from an enslaving institution or any non-human institution. It just don't even square with the biological facts of things. So therefore, I encourage everybody just do your analysis. Conceptualize and process what you understand from your analysis against the facts and circumstances of what happened to us and where and by whom. It gives you all the answers to protect yourself from this propaganda, you see? And by the way, let me just introduce myself. The host there, they know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to introduce myself to your guests and to the listeners. I'm Minister Ari Moretazon. I'm the Northeast Regional Representative of NCOBRA. That's the National Coalition of Blacks for Reparation in America. And so what we do, peoplehood is our first line of defense. But that was the first thing they took from us. You see? And Ados represents that, what they've taken from us, and want to flip it back or maintain it in slavery. We was enslaved in the womb. That's where they want to take us back to. You see? But see, look, anybody, if they do the right analysis and conceptualize that analysis with the facts and circumstances of what happened to us, then you'll see that there's a bunch of garbage. They're talking about they ain't about some bots. They're getting paid. They ain't got, because they don't do that on the job, you see. They got to make a living, too. So they're getting paid, and I say that. And I accept any type of counter to that. And that's what we got to do. See, we just can't put it on the Lord and say, nobody wanted to buy and buy, and I know it's going to get right, and I don't want to say this about those folks. No, you got to confront that. Because they're talking about your mama. They're talking about your daddy. You see? Your daddy's daddy. Your mama's mama. If you don't want to protect that and say what it is, then yeah, they're going to have the victory. But I'm not giving them the victory. I will always be at the crossroads for those type of folks. And they know it. I communicate directly with them. I say what I'm saying now to them. You see? And there's no counter to it, y'all. That's how we protect ourselves. You know? We're descendants of Africans enslaved in the United States. There's nothing counter to that. I don't care whether or not you call yourself Negro, Afro-American, African-American, Negrito, people of color, any other name you want to description you want to give yourself. All of those names and descriptions are within the facts and circumstances of who we are and what happened to us. So therefore, the best unifier is, of all those types of names and experiences, is the descendants of African slaves in the United States. That cover all of them. And see, and there's no trading places with immigrants. But we must support the immigrants because the timeline of slavery rose from, in the United States, runs from 1619 to the current date. some of those, if the immigrants can identify themselves as a special group and they can identify the fact and circumstance of what happened to them as a group, then yes, their facts and circumstances, we support them. We got to support them because their facts and circumstances are different from ours. It's no trading places. It's impossible. We got to understand that. We got to believe it, walk in it. You see, and so that's how we got to talk to folks. And this is not an opinion. It's based on facts and circumstances. You all know it. Everybody, and those who don't know, others look at the facts and circumstances of what happened to us and who we are. You see? So let's be clear about this. Another thing, another point I want to make. Let me see here. I made a note. ADOS represents the end result of an institutional system that destroyed and alienated our peoplehood in the womb. It's called NATO alienation. And so once we understand these types of facts, it should strengthen you in your faith, in your logic, to protect and defend your peoplehood. That's the very first thing they took from us. It's an injury area that INCOGRA has identified. And before the check comes, you got to deal with the peoplehood. Before the economics come, you got to deal with the peoplehood. That's why, you know, hey, Brother Elliot, those Russians in your neighborhood, they in there because they relate to themselves as a group.
Yeah.
They relate to themselves as Russians. We don't want to relate to ourselves as Africans. That's the problem. The problem really is not on them. It's on us. And we got to stop fooling around with this Mickey Mouse type of conversation that we have as if there's some logic into what they're putting on us. There's no logic in that propagation. You see, the logic is in the facts and circumstances. I can't overemphasize that enough. Stay right there. You know it, Brother Ellis. You know it, Brother Richard.
I agree with you.
And don't let those folks bombard you like the sister said. They will bombard you with some numbers. I push back on the numbers because they can't get past. They can't get past my defense. You see, they cannot handle my offense. And if any of your listeners think they can, in terms of what I just said, you know, I'm willing to interact with them, even the host, if there's an issue that you may have with some of the things that I've said. But I just want to thank you, sister. I appreciate you. I posted your article all over the place. I made my comments, much of what I'm saying right now, as part of that those postings. So I look forward to seeing you. And maybe, look here, sister, maybe we can follow with maybe getting you into Philadelphia live, and so that we can present you maybe even for Reparations Awareness Day, which is sometime in February. If not then,
that would be great.
Yes, ma'am. If it's not February, because there's some proposed other activities we want to get involved in. But Brother Elliot, you're a member of INCOGRA. Richard, you're one of the founding members of Philadelphia INCOGRA. Say so, man. Because you don't say so. You don't say so. Those ADOS folks don't say so. And that's what people are going to hear.
Brother, I really want to thank you for your contribution.
Connect me with your sister, okay? And I'll follow up with your sister.
I'll do that.
Thank you.
All right. Love you. Stand by your post.
Let's pick up another caller here. Let's go to Toronto, Canada. 647.
Yes, how are you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I wanted to this is a wonderful show. Thank the sister and thank both of the hosts. But I basically wanted to say that Kwame Nkrumah pointed out that tribes exist. And there's no problems with tribes. I think one of the hosts said, you know, we have evolved into, you know, sets of people, and that's not a problem. The problem is tribalism, and that's what will. And I think ADOS is promoting tribalism. I agree with the sister, but there was a brother by the name. I wanted the sister to talk about Henry, Bishop Henry McNeil Turner, because he was a member of the African Methodist Episcopal Church, AME, and he was born in South Carolina, and he died in Windsor, Ontario. But I wanted to read something that he went to in the 1860s, or pardon me, might in the 1890s, pardon me, he went to Liberia four times and to Sierra Leone. Liberia and Sierra Leone, the United States and the it says British colonies. I'm assuming he's talking about Jamaica, Trinidad, you know, the Caribbean islands. And I wanted to, he established AME churches in South Africa. And he had, there was a church here in Oakville, Ontario. That's the hometown of the sprinter, Donovan Bailey. And he was, and I don't want to even get into this, but he was a light-skinned brother. He said God was black. And he said that publicly, and of course, that I guess that would cause a problem in the 21st century. But he was saying that way, way, way back there. So I basically would like the sister to talk about Henry McNeil Turner and the contribution that he made, because you know, the whole Pan-African thing is something that many of us have held on to forever and ever and ever, and won't give it up. And thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for your contribution, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, like I mentioned earlier, the roots and the founding of the AME Church, and that was intentional to root us in our identity. So, yes, Turner traveled and founded more AME churches and went to the continent of Africa, and that just brings us back to the point of where one of the leaders had a YouTube video, Yvette Carnell, called Pan-Africanism is Dead. Based on the groundwork that our ancestors, like Henry McNeil Turner and others, has laid, as long as black people are alive and breathing and talking to each other, Pan-Africanism is alive and well. And we have to maintain that consciousness, or we will lose critical components and parts of ourselves that helps us when we have our social justice movements and movements for liberation.
I agree.
Let's hear, hear.
Let's go. Let's go to 617. 617, are you there? Dorchester, Massachusetts? Let's put them back on hold. Maybe they stepped away. Let's go to 404. 404.
Hey, peace and blessing, my family. Hey, look here. Hey, Elliot, you're right on. Now you are sharp. You just like John Shab now. But, hey, I want to commend my sister that got their report investigating work. You sharp, okay? And you right on the money about this ALOS group, okay? And Elliot, y'all know who I am. I do research, all right? I'm going to give y'all a quote. The best way to stop a revolution is get a fake revolutionary group, a paid opposition. That's cool with Protel 101, all right? And I, my investigation work said I had a picture of Yvette Carnell with a mega hat on, with a red hat, with that Trump hat, okay? And she worked for Breitbart. That's y'all know who Breitbart is, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. And oh, that's a fact. That's a fact. I deal in facts. Okay. No emotion. And then this ALOS group, they attacked Mark Thompson. Y'all know who Mark Thompson got him fired. That's right. They also attacked a Professor Winbush in Chicago. All right. And as a matter of fact, I got a debate with one of y'all callers on y'all on this show. And I hope he called in. And I sent him the picture. Me and him was going back and forth. I was giving him evidence after evidence, exhibit 1, 2, or 3, about how this ALOS group is fake. All right? But it's good. Now, we're in the information age. And good job, Elliot. Good job, my sister. Because it's time out for fake revolutionary groups. And when, like that one lady in Atlanta, sister, you know who I'm talking about, Stacey Abrams. She fake. She a member of the Council of Foreign Relations, all right? And that's what we need to do now. We can't just keep falling behind people that's leading us blind. Good job, my sister. And I hope that brother called in. He know who he is. I still love him. He's black, but, hey, time to wake up. I appreciate it, Elliot, Richard, Amen. My brother's good, good, good. I love it. I love you, my sister. Stay strong. And I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. So if anybody mess with you, I got your back. All right? Tell me still my number, man. All right? I'm serious, man.
Have a good evening, sir.
Thank you.
Peace.
Peace and blessing, man. I love y'all.
All right.
Thank you. Can I raise a point after his comment?
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say I'm glad that he raised the attack because, again, Ado spends a lot of time attacking prominent black voices and activists, and that is another one of their silencing mechanisms, like I mentioned with the swarming. So just to name a few of the attacks, they've attacked Sheila Jackson Lee. They have attacked, like you said, Mark Thompson, and he did get fired. They've been attacking Talib Kweli, his family, like on a very deep personal level. They've attacked actress Yvette Nicole Brown. They've attacked activist Bree Newsom-Bass. And only because she said she doesn't want people calling her Ado. They launched a whole attack, and then Yvette Carnell did a two-hour-long video bashing this woman, bashing Bree Newsom-Bass, pulling up her personal wedding photos and digging through her Facebook pages to find out who her husband is. This movement is vicious, and it has nothing to do with getting our people reparations. Nothing at all, and everything to do with attacking and dividing.
I want to come back to the point of, does this digital media command, because I see this kind of visual back and forth occurring in a lot of different venues. And is it because of the digital media in order to commodify it that you have to, within our community in general, it may be a part of American society in general, but where you have to have this vicious back and forth to get viewers, to get eyeballs, to get listeners, to get likes. From a communication part, does that again require that type of enactment?
It doesn't require it, but depending on what your end goal is and your purpose, it can be helpful. One of the things I've noticed is, I just want to like rewind a little bit. Let me know if I'm taking up too much time, but they repeatedly say that they are not an organization. They are a lineage. Ados is a lineage. Well, let me tell you, lineages don't have chapters. Mm-hmm. And they have chapters sprouting up across the country, so they claim, and I've seen quite a whole arm of media, and then there's this mysterious Ados Institute that claims to be a 501c4 registered in Oakland, California. We don't know who heads and anything about it. But the point that I'm raising is they claim not to be an organization, and yet I think that really has to do with being able to dodge full accountability for their actions and the actions of the people that follow them. And so when you see those back and forth, a lot of that ends up resulting in a good 2-hour-long video in which they receive a pouring in of donations. And I'm talking about thousands of dollars that pour in from people that watch during these 2-hour-long live broadcasts, just giving lots and lots of money. I mean, hundreds to thousands of dollars in each live broadcast. And neither one of these hosts they don't have to be held accountable, right? Because they're saying they're not an official organization. So there's no real clarity on the purpose behind that, other than I guess saying they use this donation money to live. But if we're talking about a movement that is being funded in a way that is fully operational towards reparations, we don't see that. What we see is donations and a trademark hashtag to sell T-shirts.
Sister Jessica, before I go to this next caller, Sandy Darity, who had been a guest on the program maybe a couple of years ago, Richard, I think it was, he was a part of this incendiary language in the beginning. But you put in your paper a tweet that he sent out in September. And I'll read what you have here. It says, support of a group identity and particular interests of black descendants of American slaves or ADOs should not and must not demean, denigrate, nor rejection of any other diasporic community. Those who have been doing so must stop and apologize. Those who have done so must apologize. So I guess he maybe rethought what he was doing as an elder in that particular group, but it doesn't seem like the language has stopped. Your opinion before we go to the next call?
It doesn't stop because it's disingenuous. You know, like you can say that on one hand, but if the laws continue this type of behavior, it just continues. And until he publicly chastises the leadership, it's not real. Until he publicly disengages from ADOS, is not real. ADOS itself is dehumanizing language to just even refer to ourselves as that. But in terms of the attacks on people across the African diaspora, it hasn't stopped. I have received personally a number of hate messages just due to my last name, and it continues. Not only does that continue, the online harassment continues, which he is silent about. How they have tried to get people fired from their jobs. They've dug up people's financial records and business records and posted them all online. There is a sinister spirit behind this movement. And there's no tweet that Derry can give that will clear that up or rectify the situation. The only way to rectify it is to disengage and remove yourself from being involved in the ADOS movement. And I need to uplift that Dr. Cornel West, too, is also someone that we need to look to towards disengaging from this movement. He spoke at the conference. He was there. He started speaking and praising the ADOS leadership on CNN. He's been preaching black nativists. And he too is another voice that would need to disengage from this movement.
Let's go back to Massachusetts and 617. Are you there? Okay. Let's move on. Let's go to 267. 267.
Yes, Brother Elliot.
How are you, sir?
Good, Brother Richard.
How you doing?
Good. How are you, Brother Richard? Sister Vanessa.
No, Jessica.
You're doing a great job, and I like
Jessica.
The way you're referred to as a journalist, a storyteller, someone who's analytical, because you deserve those titles. In fact, you came from out of HBCU, but a conscious person out of HBCU. I've got a better understanding. I like what you said about being conscious on reparations as a Pan-Africanist. As someone who's an African American, someone who's global, and I think that we have to understand our importance of getting it. I have a friend of mine, he is married to an African, and of course now because she's from Africa, he has citizenship because he's an American now. He has an interesting conversation about reparation. And I also look at the mere fact that this woman who was going around parading and putting out fabrication that she was a black woman who was really white who became the president of the NAACP. And Ben and Jerry, who somehow involved in a reparation movement. And I guess that we have to be grounded on us getting reparations as Africans in America and who will try to co-opt and try to get what we should be having. I'd like to know your opinion on that, your position.
Anybody there? Yes. Sister Jessica, did you hear the question?
I didn't hear the end of it. It cut off.
Yeah, repeat that, your question again.
Okay, there was a woman who was going around claiming she was black, and she was the president of the NAACP. And that They found out later that her parents were both white, of European descent. Nothing that she could prove that had any African in her. And you have Ben and Jerry's somehow involved in reparations. Can you explain? Because if we were to get reparations as being Africans in America, we don't want anybody else to get it but us. And how's that broken down for people who are imposters?
Well, one of the things I can say is when Sandy Darity, when he speaks about reparations, one of the contingencies that they put on it is that the person had to have identified as Black for at least like the last 10 years. That, so like two of the contingencies would be like having one ancestor that they can prove that was enslaved in the Americas, and then they also put that they would have to have identified as Black for the last 10 years. But I mean, that, as I laid out in my article, has a lot of different issues concerning documentation and that whole expedition, because that is not something that it just easily happens. But in terms of fraud or infringement of identity, that still is not cleared up yet. And we've seen recently that there are some people that have been identifying as white their entire lives and now go and do a DNA test and say they have like 5% African blood and try to use that for some type of affirmative action or to use it and suddenly start claiming African American identity for some type of lawsuit or reparations purpose. That within the scope of this ADOS movement is not something that has been fully fleshed out or discussed, but it is certainly is interesting. I raised that you mentioned her, that was Rachel Dolezal, and I mentioned her earlier in this interview, that Darity himself has said that she could possibly claim to be someone to get reparations if she can prove that she has had at least one ancestor that was enslaved.
That's
now, Ben and Jerry's, I don't know about Ben and Jerry's. I don't know the whole background on that.
Okay. Well, thank you for your highlights and your information, and keep your research up and being analytical.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call, brother.
Indeed. Sure.
Let's go to caller here. Caller, are you there? Caller? Uh-oh, let's put them back on hold. I don't know what happened there. Let's go to 215. 215?
Good evening, Brother Elliot.
How are you?
Good evening, Brother Richard. I'm doing fine. And good evening, Sister Jessica. How are you doing, my dear sister?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'll praise be to Allah. I just want to say this to you, Sister Jessica. It makes my heart, as a 59-year-old Black man, it makes my heart feel warm, because I know with a committed sister like yourself and Brother Aubrey Marinesan, who called, and people like you that's committed, I know in my heart, in spite of all the opposition, the paid agents like ADOS and others like of the ilk, I know we're going to get reparations and stuff, because to me, you're going to have more committed people than yourself and Brother Aubrey Marinesan. It's ironic that he would call Sister Jessica, because when I was at my job here in Philadelphia, I think this past Tuesday I was up in Cheltenham, which is about right outside of Philadelphia, and I was thinking, and Brother Ari popped in my mind because of his involvement, with, of course, within Cobra, and the fact that he's a veteran. You know, not one of them Negro veterans who patriotic to the red, white, and blue, but just a conscious brother that, like my dad, was in the military, not because they loved America and they loved the red, white, and blue. And that reason why he popped in my mind, because I saw, I met a brother up there who was a member of them, and I hope Ari's still listening, who's a member of the Black Veterans Network. And I know Ben Ari is a veteran, and it's a group of good, conscious brothers who are veterans. So I was hoping Ari, I don't know if Ari heard of this group, but he might look into it and see if they're legit or not, because I met the brother. He seemed like a legitimate brother. But anyway, like I said, I appreciate what you said. Exposing these people that, who, like you said, trying to cause division and tribalism within the Black community, because, again, it's one thing we have learned from COINTELPRO, they will always, Sister Jessica, put out people out there to disrupt our movements and stuff, and they'll put people out there look just like us, but they're nothing but the puppets, but they've been they've been, you know, manipulated by the puppeteer. So that's why it's so important to have voices like yours out there, Sister Jessica, to expose these people, you know what I mean? Because they are dangerous. Like you said, they bitch anytime you do things to try to get people fired and things to hurt somebody's livelihood. You somebody that's dangerous, and you somebody that definitely has to be dealt with and stuff, because this is not playtime. You deal with trying to hurt people's livelihood and personal attacks on people. That's a serious issue, you know? But I was thinking back, Sister Jessica, you mentioned about, I think, Antonio Moore, when he said that we should be focused more on our roots towards Europeans as opposed or white people as opposed to black our people in Africa. That is so ludicrous. It almost reminds me of the insane comments that Henry Louis Gates made a few years ago. I only remember the comment where he said that the white man was the original man. I'm saying, how any black man that got any sense in his head could even call the Caucasian the original man? But see, again, you have to ask yourself, Sister Jessica and Brother Ellen, Brother Richard, who paying these people? Who are these people serving and stuff? And I know Henry Louis Gates did some things on PBS about history things that was good, but at the same time, that's always been part of the end game, to put some good out there, but also put confusion out there as well. So I'm always publicly questioning when I heard out some of our people that's probably got some brains in their head to say ridiculous things like the white man is the original man, or we should be focused on our roots in America, or white people as opposed to Africa, the motherland, and stuff. So whenever people make comments like that, already an antenna goes off in my head. I'm already suspicious of them right off the bat. So that I always look at them with a jaundiced eye anyway, once they make comments like that. You know what I mean? Even if they start doing some good until they prove totally that they on our people's side, I'm always looking at them with one eye closed or one eye open, so to speak. You know what I mean, Sister Jessica?
Yes.
You know, because people like that, they definitely leave a lot to be desired, you know, and like you said about Cornell, I like Cornell West, but like you said, again, it's not about whether I like him or not or dislike him, and I have to like the brother, but like you said, he has to totally, like you said about the other brother from ADOS, they have to totally come out and denounce these people for what they are. Don't come out and say half stuff. Come out and say who these people are and disengage yourself from them. And I couldn't agree with you more on that, Sister Jessica. And I hope Cornell does that, because I have respected him over the years. But, you know, it just shows you that some of our people that we know are conscious and they can get caught up in the propaganda. These people package themselves one way to appeal to certain people in our group, and then they start thinking that these people are down with our people, when the whole time they nothing but traitors and nothing but dividers in our community. So I agree with you that Brother Cornell West should definitely come out and fully disengage himself from this group and make public comments about them, you know, who they are and what they stand for, as well as the other brother, Majority. He needs to do the same thing as well. We can't have these people out here. You know, our fight for reparations is tough enough with people out there. As a distinction within the black community. I mean, I think that's definitely important and stuff, you know. But again, you know, like I said, Sister Jessica, you keep doing what you're doing, my sister. I'm enjoying the show. Good show, Brother LM. I thank all the callers that called in, from Brother from Canada and all the other Brother West from down in Atlanta that called in, all the people that's calling in tonight, because this is what it's going to take. It's going to take a worldwide movement of our people to finally get the reparations that our people surely deserve. And last point, Sister Jessica, with what Brother West is saying is true, and I have no doubt that he's telling the truth when he said that Yvette Carnell had the MAGA hat on. If that's true, and again, I have no doubt that Brother West is true, that right there shows you right there where she's coming from. She has a MAGA hat on supporting that thing, and I noticed, I said that thing that's in the White House, it's not even a human, that's that thing that's in the White House. If she's supporting somebody like that, to me, right there, that disqualified already right there. That, to me, that totally disqualified her as being any kind of spokesperson or whatever for the black community. And I ended my comments on that note. Thank you, Sister Jessica. Thank you, Brother Elliot. Thank you, Brother Richard.
Thank you for your contribution.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's go to 646. 646? 646, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I mean, you know, I find it myself kind of funny that, you know, we attack someone like Yvette Carnell, who has the courage and the audacity to stand up and challenge individuals like a Mark Thompson. I mean, we really need to think about some of these people that we back. they represent and what they try to put us into.
Is that all she attacked was Mark Thompson? Is that all she attacked was Mark Thompson? Yes or no?
Could I finish, please?
No, no. Answer that question. No, no. Answer that question. Is that all she attacked was Mark Thompson?
No, no. I'm trying to make a
point. Well, no, no, no. You're not going to just... You go, wait, hey, hold it. I'm gonna put you on hold, man. You're not going to just say something half on... Because this sister been putting out facts. And she did research.
You didn't even let me finish.
No, you're gonna answer my question before you continue. This sister been putting out... Listen, the call going to be ended, brother. The call going to be ended. You're going to answer my question, and then you can go on.
I'm answering your question.
Answer my question. Is that all she attacked was Mark Thompson? Yes or no?
I'm saying yes, she has attacked.
Wait a minute. Yo, wait a minute. Yes? That's all she attacked is Mark Thompson? Or no? That's a, is that only person she attacked was Mark Thompson? Yes or no?
No, I did not say that. I said she has attacked other people than Mark Thompson.
Oh, okay. Now you can continue.
I think one should have a right to call into question some of the people that she has attacked. And Mark Thompson is nothing more than a still for the Democratic Party. Have you ever heard his show? Have you ever heard or seen him on TV about what he's constantly pushing on black people, the Democratic Party? How he gives pass to people like Nancy Pelosi, who just gave your boy, as we call the devil, Donald Trump, billions of dollars to go to war and kill people of color? See, I think what happens is we become two-faced. We think because certain people make certain statements that it's okay. But then when other people say certain things and question them, then they're wrong.
Well, when you attack, listen to this. Listen to this. Listen to this, caller. When you attack Pan-Africanism, you attack Marcus Garvey, you attack Malcolm X, you attack Cyril Briggs, you attack a lot of early historians that we had during the turn of last century. A lot of those men were from the islands, a lot of them, if you know anything about history. When you attack Pan-Africanism, you attack our ancestors. Don't come on here with a half conversation talking about the Mark Thompson. Don't come on with a half conversation to talk about Mark Thompson.
Why are we in the condition that we in? You telling me that Malcolm don't deserve to be questioned? You telling me that nobody has the right to be questioned?
I said attacked. I said attacked. Listen, I'm not going to go back and forth with you on the air. I said attacked. I didn't say questioned. I didn't say hey, hold up, man. I'm going to put you on hold because you can't overtalk me. I said attacked. That's different from question. We can question Dr. King's motives, even though he came back later on in his life and changed. You heard the segment of that speech when he talked about his dream, and he said it didn't turn into a nightmare because our people had trust in Europeans. He said it out of his own mouth. I'm not talking about question. That's what we do on this program. We look at history, and then we question some of our ancestors. Some of them did the best they could. Question something is different from attack. And you ain't gonna come on here with no foolishness now. You got to come right. Now, we didn't discuss this before. Now, I'll let you back on, but I don't want to hear no foolishness. This sister done came with facts. Go ahead, caller.
The fact of the matter is that Yvette Cornell and Tone have the right to give their perspective. Now, if you disagree with their perspective, then you do what the young lady is doing, which is putting forward a different narrative. But all I'm saying is when you put forward a narrative and you pick certain people, understand the history and what they're trying to do to black people, just like the actress. All she do is push the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party done already told you they're not going to give you reparations. They done already showed you they don't give a F about you. So why would you support or back someone that basically is doing nothing but pushing you into the arms of your enemy? That's all I'm saying. See, the thing boils down to this. Every organization has their good points and their bad points. Intelligent people pick and choose what is good and what is best for the collective. So I have no total problem with Yvette Tone. I love Dorothy because I've had the opportunity to read Dorothy's work, and it's on point.
So attack on Pan-Africanism and attack on our ancestors is good for the collective? Is that what you're telling me?
And listen, the ancestors made mistakes, brother.
So attack on Pan, I said attack. I ain't say nobody was perfect.
Let me just interject right here.
Yes, go ahead, sister.
From the very beginning of the conversation, when you started talking about the Democratic shields and all of that, I recognize that as ADOS talking points. That is what they do to try to further disenfranchise the black vote. We can critique the Democratic Party all day long, all from sun up to sundown. We can sit here and critique the Democratic Party. But what they do is try to say, oh, nobody else before us has the answers. We're the only ones with the answers. Look at all these mistakes. Nobody else has the answers. Why would you vote? Why would you support the Democrats? They're trying to keep black people from trusting in their votes. And now we know that the voting process is messed up. We know that. But one of the tactics of the ADOS group is to further disenfranchise the black vote, and that is one of the talking points that they use. Now, you can critique Mark Thompson all you want to critique him, but I can say this. Based on his work versus Yvette Carnell and Antonio Moore's work, I would go with Mark Thompson over this. That's someone that actually has done credible work that you can vouch for. Not something thrown up on YouTube, not aligning himself with an organization that was prompted up by a white supremacist. Okay? Nobody is saying whether or not Yvette Carnell or Antonio Moore have the right to critique. We all have the right to critique. That's not what they're doing. They are on full attack mode, and so are their ADOS members. This is not about whether or not we have differing opinions. This is about attacking the black collective and Pan-African consciousness. This has nothing to do with personal feelings. It has everything to do with what they are doing and the policies that they are promoting that will harm our community. Nothing that they're doing is going to get us reparations. Not a thing. You can admire them as YouTube hosts all you want, but they are not reparations activists. They are not leading this reparations movement, and nothing that they do is going to get us reparations because we've already been advocating for reparations for 100-some-odd years, okay? If you want to follow someone and want to follow a reparations movement, there are valid ones that already exist. Part of the problem with the ADOS group, and this is a staunch definition or description of what cult activity does, is it teaches you something, right? These type of people teach you something that you didn't know before, and then they tell you nobody else has the answer but me. Meanwhile, we got NCOBRA that's been doing the work for decades. We got the National African American Reparations Commission that's been doing the work. They popped up Yvette Carnell and Antonio Moore in 2016 to tell us all the other Negroes was wrong and we the only ones right. And if you dare speak out about it, they will attack you and to the point of trying to end your career. Do you think that I wrote this because I wanted to write this? No. I wrote this because it needed to be said. And it was easy to do because I know the nature and the viciousness of their movement. Since I published this report, they have actually had one of the ADOS members publish on Twitter what they believe to be my home address to have people confront me at my home. This is not a conversation about differences and criticism. This is a conversation about the Pan-African liberation to the point of them becoming so vicious and vile that they want to meet me at my home. So you can scratch all that. They have a right to critique because nobody's talking about their critiques or criticism. We're talking about their harassment and their suspect activity that is going to harm the Pan-African world and black community.
Thank you for your call, brother.
Well,
you had one last comment or no. question?
Yeah, I got one last comment.
Go ahead.
My last comment is this. For all that he said, do you not know that there are, as you say, groups in these cities doing the work of putting together an agenda and the platform to run candidates to be able to move forward their message? What, as far as I'm concerned...
Do you know that Incobra's been doing that work? And if you wanted to do that work, you would link up with the people that have been doing that work?
No, we're not going to do that now.
That are doing the work.
Go ahead, Richard.
And this may take a little time because, Jay, the question you raise, the challenge I always have when people raise the question when they're particular not doing the work makes it difficult to respond. And the reason why I say, and everybody heard Ori say that for Philadelphia, that how I part of a community of folks who brought the chapter and Cobra chapter to Philadelphia. And because I believe in reparation, because I believe in political formation, and because I believe that there is different formations, when Philadelphia 80 started to assemble, which has been about a month, or I think that's maybe 2 months, I made myself available to be a part of the, just the organizing or the coming together. In that, I had to make it clear that I supported Incobra. I was a part of the origin in Philadelphia of Incobra. And I am a believer in Pan-Africanism. As I said, I'm a, Marcus Garvey conservative. And if they have problems, when I say that right off, and if they have problems, those individuals who assemble from Philadelphia, they needed to tell me that right now. So I can, because my thing is not to create no issue. The organizing leadership, they didn't have no problem with that. I've read in the book list, at least three of in their, books that they laid out. I've read and at least read, followed along. And in this last one, they, tried to do an online discussion. And because I believe that our history, we have identity. And I wanted to be clear, I've seen that what I heard from the narrative, as far as to place them. So my question about that, to even the last, and I'll end on this in the sense of what I think you're raising, Jay, because it's important that you can't in this kind of format raise that kind of question if you personally are not engaged to understand. And I think, Sister Jessica, you raised the point that there are people who are formulating around reparations. And I believe these people are genuinely formulating around reparations. That's their issue. They have personal experiences that they're experiencing that says to them, reparations is needed. And for whatever reason, they didn't hear about Incobra. They don't even, may not even know about Pan-Africanism until they, and these are mid-age and older. I don't know why, but they may not have never heard that. But at that point, they heard that. So here I am with this experience, and I'm a part of that, in the dialogue. So at one point, the discussion came up around this Native, and I'm saying, well, wait a minute. I know, as you said, Sister Jessica, which is interesting, the similarities. My family comes out of Georgia, who had to run out of Georgia because of being the fear of being lynched. And we've lived through Jim Crow and did that whole thing of convict leasing and all of that. I made that clear. So, but I believe in Pan-Africanism. So are you telling me that I'm not entitled because I'm a Pan-Africanist? In this online discussion, they had somebody or a few had to concede. I raised that point just to show that politically organizing is a art and a science, but you have to be personally engaged because it's dealing with our people. And if you're not, and that's why I kept coming back, Sister Jessica, about this communication format, because there can be perceived organizing. And I consider most of the people I'm around right now are electorally and politically immature in relationship to how the system works in order to make reparation work. I think a lot of us, even in the Pan-Africanist community, are politically and electorally immature, especially when it comes around to our organizing. But I just wanted to lay that out, and maybe what might be my contradiction, and to show that the people on the ground may, when we're interacting with each other, they're not in belief with those who are propagating at the quote-unquote leadership level. And you raised something, Sister Jessica, that I'd never heard, this Eidos Institute, which is another red flag that has to be explored. So I just wanted to put that out there, Brother Jay, let you understand that, you know, to put a reparation issue on the ballot or politically move that, you have to be organized at the street with people who come together around that issue. And you have to work that out with them, their history, their personal history, their understanding of history, their understanding of politics, and because at the political level, at the electoral level, the warfare is a whole nother animal. And that's why I say they're politically immature, because they don't really even understand the animal when we're talking about the police union, the teachers union, the bureaucrats within the housing area, the bankers. These are people who are controlling the electoral process and therefore controlling reparations and moving it forward. Just to show that what you have to be on the ground in order to answer the question that you propose.
Yeah, but Richie, hello?
I'm here.
Yeah, what I first wanted to understand, did you say you were meeting with a Cobra members?
I started the Encobra chapter in Philadelphia.
Okay.
In the 90s.
All right.
And Brother Osasi is the president of Encobra now, and he's been there since the time of the chapter came together.
Yeah, but Richard, all I'm saying is, like you've always said to me, you got to join a group and an organization. Now, based on what you just said over the last 3 or 4 minutes, here it is, you have a group that's been together, or a collective of a group that's been together for over 30, 40 years, that if we're going to be truthful and we're going to be honest, that has not had themselves in a political position to make any sort of real demands in regards to reparations.
And black people in the Democratic Party haven't been able to make real demands either.
Richard, let me finish the point. The thing is, now you have a group like ADOS who is coming together and trying to make things happen that's in a position to compete with a group like Encobra, which if you really look at it, it's a good thing.
To compete?
Competition is not a good thing.
What do you compete?
So it is a good thing.
If you want to watch football, then turn the TV on.
Compete. Unfortunately, I have to go soon.
Sister Jessica, listen.
This is not, black liberation
is not a game.
And our social justice movement is not a competition. And if we want to be successful, we have to plug into each other. And see, this is exactly why I wrote this report, because look at what ADOS has the ideology that they have poured into people, that we are at war with each other instead of working with each other. We are not at war. We are not in competition. This is not a capitalist exploit. This is about liberation.
Yes.
okay, we're not fighting. This is not about us being at war or fighting with each other, which is why I raised the point. If this was a genuine reparations movement, wouldn't it be more about plugging in and collaborating than it would be about war? Wouldn't the ADOS leadership tell people to plug in with ENCOBRA and other reparations movements that have been working and doing this work versus calling people that don't want to be called ADOS detractors, which is a term that they use? It's not a real reparations movement. It's loud. It's in your face. But it's not a real reparations movement. And we have to stop this, you've been doing this for 30-some-odd years and got nothing accomplished type of mindset. This is not a popcorn movement. It's not a microwave movement. This is a lifetime movement, generational movement, okay? So to think that because ADOS popped up and got some people tweeting and doing these hashtags and yelling and confronting people in the streets, I think that that supersedes the work that our ancestors have done, that our elders have done, is disingenuous and is disrespectful and is downright ahistorical. And that's why that as a movement, it shows me, is not a real reparations movement, because a real reparations movement would plug into the work that's already been done, would respect the work that's already been done and try to build off of the work that's already been done, not try to hijack a movement and claim it for yourself and say nobody else has done anything. That's not how it works.
Sister Jessica, listen, I've hijacked you tonight because you got a couple of young children, but can you give me maybe 10 more minutes? I got two callers I want to clear up this board.
Okay, I hope they make it quick. I got to
okay. And I'm sorry for keeping you over time. Let's go to Newport News. Newport News?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Jessica, I know your time is short. I'm going to get straight to the point. Elliot has all my contact information. I'd be really interested in talking to you one-on-one on this. I've been instrumental in doing a lot of research.
Can you come closer to the, because you must be on a hands-free or the speaker.
Oh, sir, I'm actually talking on my computer. Can you hear me now?
It's okay, go ahead. It's a little better, but go ahead.
What I'm going to say to her is I'd like for you to give her my information. I don't want to babble in the air, but I can tell you I do applaud the fact that she said she's not a journalist. She gave her informed opinion, and I'd like to be able to give her some facts along with some things like talking about the bot situation, whether or not ADOS is usurped by right wing. I'd like to have that conversation with her, so I implore you to give her my information, and we can talk via email and stuff like that. One of the things that bothers me most about this is she's done a lot of research, and we talked. When this conversation came up about ENCOBRA and NARC, I don't disparage those groups. I'm actually old enough to have been involved in them early on and really concerned with it. But I'd like to have a continuing conversation with her to set her straight on some of the things that I believe she sincerely got wrong. So I don't want to have a public argument on your platform about that. What I will say to you is you are wrong about the purpose of ADOS and what we choose to and wish to accomplish. Because reparations and the biggest problem with the Pan-African point of view of this is the specificity of going to a particular government that is responsible for torture. We had no problem with CARICOM, had no problem with any other group in the diaspora going to a particular government to seek redress for egregious atrocities that have lasted for over four centuries. So I would implore you to give her my information, and she and I can talk directly, and we'll see if we can come to some understanding. Have a good day.
Thank you.
One thing I will say is that is what reparations movements have already been advocating for, directly seeking redress with the U.S. government. ADOS has not done anything brand new or advocated anything new. And even though people say that they are a genuine reparations movement, I already know that they are not. The work that has been done towards looking into them shows that they are not. And at every juncture, they do things that would further divide the reparations movement as a whole rather than unite it.
Let's go to one more call here. Let's go to San Francisco. Caller, are you there? Caller? Okay, let's put them back. Put them back. Sister Jessica, the struggle continues. I'm glad that you wrote the things that you did, your research, and bared the facts on the air tonight. We see the purpose of some of these groups now. Or whether, not some of these groups. We see the purpose of this group that we focus in on tonight. And I think a few callers kind of maybe exacerbated that purpose, so to speak. We need all hands on deck. The enemy of our ancestors and the enemy of our people has always been the system of white supremacy and the Caucasians that have been gatekeepers of it. And now in this age are some black folks that have been gatekeepers or paid adversaries. In order to get reparations for our ancestors, we need everybody working together to accomplish this. This is not a game. This is not a competition. It's nothing to compete about. If I want to watch a competition, I'd watch the basketball game later on this evening and see who wins. No, we can't, you know, and people that want to be critical of these organizations, get involved. Get involved. If you got a critique or if you got some beneficial ideas, get involved in these organizations. Don't sit on the sidelines. That vignette that I played at the end, it was the voice of Cynthia McKinney. Talking about it was dozens of our people just standing around watching Kuta Kinte get his back whipped. We don't need people standing around watching anymore. This is the time for all hands to be on deck. This is the end game. If we think these situations are going to be around for another 100, 200 years, our people in this condition here in this country, you're sadly mistaken. I don't believe that. I think we all have to be involved in what our ancestors have been fighting for since we were illegally snatched off the continent of our nativity. Before we leave tonight, Sister Jessica, give out any information where people can get the children's books, your other publications, to even get involved, to bring you in to speak or to the floor is yours, sister.
Oh, thank you so much. I just want to say thank you, Elliot and Richard, for having me on the show tonight. People can reach me at jamiwuyor@gmail.com, JamiAiWuyor at gmail.com. My blog is Our Legacy. Legacy is spelled with an IOURLEGACI.com. My publishing company is Our Legacy Press. Also, Legacy is spelled with an I there. As well, I am in the D.C. DMV area. I am open to coming to speak to any group about my research, and I'm doing some more research about disinformation and misinformation campaigns affecting the African and Pan-African community. So, again, I can be reached at jamiwuyor@gmail.com.
Hey, Sister Jessica, as you heard me, you know your role for me is to try to keep me sane with my insane behavior. So I really appreciate the work that you've done and is really, you know, helpful in order to be able to navigate in the spaces that at least I have to work through. So I really appreciate it. And again, it was thorough.
Thank you.
This is Jessica.
It's just something that is necessary to clear. I'm here to clear the confusion.
Mm-hmm. Sister Jessica, apologize to your husband for me.
Okay, I will.
Talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right, thank you both.
Bye-bye. All right,
take care now.
Richard, interesting dialogue tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a dialogue that needs to be had. We need to get to the bottom of these things, but always keep in focus the work that needs to be done.
And realize there's real people on the ground that come to the table at different times, different points, you know, in their experience. And we can't dictate how they get there. But we can be able to assist in laying out what the menu is that they get to choose from. And I think that's really important when you talk from an organizing perspective. Because if we were so well organized, we would be in a different position than we are right now as a people. All these other things being true.
I agree. You know that. Before we leave tonight, I want to give you the lineup. Excuse me. I want to give you the lineup on Time for an Awakening. Time for an Awakening Media. On Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. is African Perspectives with Brother Oshie. Always interesting dialogue on African Perspectives with Brother Oshie from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. From 6 to 8 Monday evenings, Acres of Diamonds with Brother Jihad Ahmed. The first and third Monday of every month, Conversation Reparations. And Cobra's program is from 9 to 10 on Time for an Awakening. From 10 to 12, it's Warren Ballantyne's podcast on Time for an Awakening Media. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Time for an Awakening. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10 on Time for an Awakening. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy from 7 to 8 on Time for an Awakening. And on Fridays, for right now, Esoteric Review with Sister Marcy airs from 1 to 2 on Friday afternoons after Brother Oshie's program on Time for an Awakening. I want to thank everybody for listening to the program this evening. Lively discussion, as always, and we'll be back on Friday, Lord willing, to continue on this path towards an awakening. Peace.
Peace.
If you're driving through the country on a lazy afternoon, or you're watching your children playing after school, they seem to be so unaware. I know the things that they'll soon have to take care of. We've got to do something, yeah, to save the children. Uh-huh.